Welcome to the Mercies of God radio broadcast, sponsored by the Mercies of God Association of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Now, with today's message, here is the late Dr. Peter Nortier.
If it's possible for you to do so, get your Bible down and turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 9, and I'm going to read the entire chapter, 13 verses. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto the king, or unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." Today we're going to look for a moment or two again at this portion of the Word of God. And I'll tell you, my friend, there's a great many truths in this portion, and we're going to spend some time on it. And so I want you to listen like you never listened before, and follow along with me in your Bible if you can. Our subject today is God's method of grace. It's my hope that many of you will take the time out to meditate upon this glorious portion of the Word of God. It sets forth one of the clearest pictures of how the Lord brings a sinner unto himself that can be found in the entire Bible. We have rejoiced over this portion for several weeks, and it is our hope that we can impart unto you some of the blessings we have received from the Lord through this portion of the Word of God. Take your Bibles now, and let's review again the scripture procedure of God's method of grace. We call your attention particularly to verses 7 and 8 of our text, where we read, "And David is speaking unto Mephibosheth, and David said unto him, Fear not, for I will show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Here we see the admission of the sinner that he is not worthy to be saved, but instead he is nothing but a dead dog in the sight of the king. Now hold your seat. In the Old Testament, a dog was not counted as anything in the sight of the Lord. Turn to Deuteronomy 23 and verse 18, where we read, "Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore, nor the price of a dog, into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. For these both are abominations unto the Lord thy God." Now let me explain that. The whore we know is what very clearly. The price of a dog is nothing but a sodomite, and our Lord considered them to be dogs in his sight. And so we find both are an abomination unto the Lord God of heaven. That means that whoredom and sodomy is an abomination unto the Lord God of heaven. This means that a dog was an unclean thing before the Lord, and its price was not to be brought into the tabernacle because it was an abomination. Now hold your seat as I give you this truth, which is shocking to very many. The truth is that unsaved, self-righteous, religious professors are counted as dogs in the sight of the Lord God of heaven. My Lord reckoned the religious Pharisees as dogs, as he said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under your feet, and turn again and rend you." Now turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, where we read again, but it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Both of these passages refer to the condition and attitude of the unsaved religious people today in the eyes of God. And my friend, that's not a very good sight, is it? Now let's go one step further in our study. When the grace of God goes home to the heart of the sinner, that individual is made to see and acknowledge before God that he's nothing but a dead dog. Now this means that in the eyes of himself, in the eyes of God, the sinner is made to see himself as worthless before the Lord. My friend, has God ever shown you this? Oh, I hope and pray that he has, or maybe showing it to you now. Have you ever stood before God as a worthless, corrupt, filthy, stinking, dead dog of a sinner? This is the way Mephibosheth felt about himself as he was in the presence of the Lord of David, who was his Lord. And so does every sinner when the Lord God of heaven reveals to him his depravity. Now hold your seat. This is the first step in God's method of grace. The second step in God's method of grace is the setting forth of the kindness of God to him because of a covenant. Notice our text again, 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 7. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Here we see the grace of God going forth to the sinner because of a covenant of grace made before the sinner was ever born. David and Jonathan made a covenant together in which David would show kindness to the members of Jonathan's family. This was the basis of David's kindness to Mephibosheth. But hold your seat now. It portrays the covenant of grace made between the members of the Godhead. Now, some of you aren't going to like this, but it's because you don't know your Bible very well. And I'm going to give you a truth here on the covenant of grace. Long before man came into being, there was a covenant drawn up between the members of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father elected those to be saved unconditionally, and God the Father gave them to Christ the Son, who guaranteed their redemption because he signed our bond, took our guilt, and paid our penalty. God the Holy Spirit is the one who makes the grace of God effective in our lives, and therefore our redemption is totally, entirely, and eternally of grace. Now hold your seat. This is what Mephibosheth was made aware of when David said to him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And Mephibosheth was made to know that the kindness of David was extended to him because of a covenant made between him and his father, who at that time was dead. That was Jonathan. This is also what the good news of the gospel is all about. It's the kindness and love of God, our Savior, being manifested to us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is found in Titus chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. Now this is a far cry from the decisionism of today that is palmed off as salvation, is it not? You don't see many Mephibosheths standing before David. Instead, what do you see him? You don't see him standing before David cocky and, you might say, self-assured. No, sir, my friend. You see Mephibosheth where? In the dust before David, reverencing David as Lord and abasing himself as a dead dog worthy of nothing. Now listen carefully. In like manner, when the grace of God goes home to the heart of the individual, the same thing happens to him, and it is written on his heart forever. The truth, or the mark, I should say, of true salvation is set forth in the sinner abasing himself before God, and then the Lord God of heaven raising up the sinner to the heights of glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the fulfillment of Scripture in Luke chapter 18 and 14, where it says, everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And that's tied in with the redemption of the sinner and the publican and the sinner. Grace not only is the kindness of God to us, but grace goes far beyond that. Grace restores us, I should say, to the position of a son of the King. Look again at 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 7, where we read, "And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." David proclaimed this to the son of a rebel, and a rebel himself, that he would first be restored to the favor of the king. Mephibosheth was of the household of Saul, that great and terrible enemy of David. Mephibosheth had no claim on the kindness of David. Instead, this is what he deserved. He deserved to be put to death. And are you listening, my friend? He knew it. Yet David restored him to favor, and went so far as to set him as one of his sons. And this son of Saul was made to eat bread at the king's table continually. What a picture of the free sovereign grace of God bestowed on the sinner. You and I either are or were in the same condition of Mephibosheth at one time. Before the grace of God went home to our hearts, we were of the household of Satan, lame and depraved, dwelling apart from God, and out of our mouth issuing shame, because that's what the word Mephibosheth means. But wasn't it a glad day when the grace of God went home to our hearts, broke us at the feet of Christ, raised us then up to the position of a son of the King? It's no wonder our hearts burn within us as we are made to rejoice and cry out, "Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all our sin." Is that your portion, my friend? If not, you're missing the greatest treasure you can ever have, which is being a recipient of the grace of the Lord God of heaven. Grace not only restores, but grace also provides for the need of every person. Has the grace of God ever gone to your home like it did to the heart of Mephibosheth? Oh, I hope it has, because as I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's the greatest treasure you can ever have. The wonder of God's grace is that it is absolutely free, and it comes absolutely without a single requirement on the part of the individual. That's why Hebrews 12:2 is very beautiful. It said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." And how wonderful it is. And are you listening? That was all done on our behalf. I wonder if there's some sinner out there today who might be listening to me and thirsting after this grace. If you are, my friend, it's already due to one thing. God's grace is already being extended to you. Is the Lord setting before you your awful condition of being lost? Then praise the Lord and beg Him to bring you on to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as I've said before, it's the greatest thing that can ever take place, if it ever does. And my hope, this is taking place even in your heart at this hour. And if it already has, my hope is that you'll appreciate the Lord God of heaven more than ever before and serve Him in a better manner than ever before. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Thank you for listening to the Mercies of God radio broadcast with the late Dr. Peter Nortier. For more about Mercies of God, go to our website, merciesofgod.org. That's merciesofgod.org. If this program is a blessing to you, send your tax-deductible contributions to the Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, M-O-G-A, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Once again, the Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, M-O-G-A, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Or go to the website, merciesofgod.org. That's merciesofgod.org. Join us again next time for the Mercies of God radio broadcast with the late Dr. Peter Nortier.